Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is exciting to be here. My wife and I are here in the name of Jesus, and we're glad to be here. We also would like to certainly be praying with you and for the pastor. You guys are a very well-taught congregation, so it's a little unnerving coming here to preach. If you would, I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles, praise God, to 2 Peter. Amen. I thought about why did Pastor Bales ask me to preach in this stead, and I thought, oh, I think I figured it out. He wanted the congregation to be glad for his return. So, anyway, let's look to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Father, we do thank you and we do appreciate your presence. Even the time that we had to sing praises to you and to magnify your greatness. Today, Lord, we are conscious of your presence and thinking upon the goodness and greatness of you here today. We thank you for your precious word. And so we look upon it today, Lord, and trust he, the Holy Ghost, to give us utterance. We thank you, Father, for each vessel here today. And we ask you, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts. Minister to us, O Lord, through your precious word. We ask, God, that we would be lifted and inspired to run and do the things that you're calling us to do. And so we depend on you, O Lord. Through the name of Jesus Christ, and we give you the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I've gotten a little more sophisticated since the last time I was here. I have an iPad, and I'm going to try to actually minister from it. So this will be my third or fourth time trying to do that, but let's look here at the text here in 2 Peter chapter 1. I wanted to actually share, too, that I heard it shared that how Pastor Bales and Karen had needed to break to get away. And I can tell you that that certainly is true. He's not only tireless here when he comes to MCTC. He was doing a regular preaching clinic there. He ministered up there on last Thursday night. I had to be on the hill, but that's our pre-release area. But the guys were talking about that message that he ministered there. And before I go any further, I certainly want to share with this congregation that I've shared with Pastor Bales on a number of occasions that, because I hear preaching on TV, radio, on the web, and so forth, and I still find it difficult to find someone who's preaching at the level that he ministers on. I don't mean that he's not going to send me a check or anything from this. So I just can't tell you how much I have gleaned from his ministry. And with all the things and some of the junk teaching that you run into, it's a very precious thing to know you have a pastor like you do. Amen. 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 2 Peter chapter 1. In other words, I'm throwing a hint. I don't know if you get that hint, but if you didn't get it, you can talk to me later. I didn't get what you were talking about, and then I can tell you privately what I was meaning. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let all God's people say, amen. We again thank God for the word, and I want to just share with you just a few moments on this passage of scripture. And the first thing I want to do is tell you that there was such a challenge, and actually we're seeing a lot of it in our day. But at that time, you have to understand that they were confronted with Gnostics and all types of communication. There was this ideology out there that Peter and Paul and others of the apostles in the early church were fighting against. Not directly, but they were showing how the fight should be fought. By that I mean, they didn't necessarily have to stand toe-to-toe with one and fight with them about some particular subject. Rather, they were equipping the saints so that we knew in whom we believed and how the true faith actually operates. Now, by that, I mean this. If you or I were to see what they were going through, the Gnostics were really caught up with knowledge. Now, knowledge is a good thing. But when you perceive knowledge more important than faith, you're in a bad way. And they had this ideology that they esteemed knowledge, that they're always busy trying to learn something, whether it was true or false. They were just simply into knowledge. The awesome thing about our faith is what we see in this text, in these very early verses. He says here, to those who through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ received a faith as precious as ours. That is Peter writing. I thought his faith was pretty precious. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if your faith can walk by folks and your shadow heals people, I think that's a pretty precious faith. And the idea is that he is saying the same faith I have, you have. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. To have a knowledge and a faith that comes from God himself. To have a knowledge that comes from God himself is not simply a knowledge that we get in our brain, although our brain's good to be involved. But it comes way deeper than that. It comes in a relationship with us. And we actually know God and know of God and know about God because of his word and because Jesus Christ himself has brought the knowledge to us. Amen. Hallelujah. If I was in my church, I'd shout a little bit, but I'm going to be calm here because they tell me y'all do it calmly. Hallelujah. But what a thought, what an idea. Or is it just that? See,
the significance of having something that's just caught up in the fact that, okay, we're going to learn about this or we're going to learn about that. And we see this all over when I experience sometimes at the prison, encounter Muslims who come to me and try to tell me, well, you ought to be open-minded. I said, well, my mind is, and I get stuck. Okay, I can only be open, but so far. Yes, I want to learn, and yes, I want to know, and yes, I want to divulge into different things, but the idea is my knowledge did not come from something I obtained. Glory to God. But something that was bestowed. Hallelujah. And the idea that we have this, the idea that we have a knowledge that came from God. Hallelujah. Very thought of that is staggering. Amen. Amen. Verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now listen to that unfolding. Let me read that again. His divine power, whose power? His, has given us, given, not obtained, given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Hallelujah. Now, the thing is, I want you to understand, beloved, is that it's like God has to pay the check. Amen. You didn't gain that, so you have to deal with the bill. God's paying the bill. He says in verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I want to take just a moment here on this idea of divine nature. Divine nature. A participant in divine nature. A participant in divine nature. Hallelujah. Isn't that a thought? A participant in divine nature. Now, first of all, let's make it clear, you will never become divine. Amen. Even if your first name is Caesar. You will never, ever be divine. So I think you all know that. But the idea is also not only that you and I won't ever become something greater per se in ourselves, but there is a offering that comes from something God has done in us that he actually encourages us to participate in it. Good God. Now here, let me show you here what I'm talking about. Turn with me, if you will, over to, or one example. There are multiple examples of this in Scripture in the New Testament. But let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1. Amen. And verse 27 says something we would hardly dare share if we weren't reading it and seeing it for ourselves. He says here in verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Amen. Praise God. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Praise God. Christ in you. The hope of glory. You and I are a participant if Christ is living in us. Praise God. And he offers this participation. Jesus living, Jesus inside of us through the Holy Ghost. There is a reality that we have divinity in us. We're not divine, but there's divinity up in there. And the idea, glory to God, that we can actually be a participant, we can operate and flow from what is coming from the divine. Praise God. I'm not generating it. You don't generate it. God generates it. I said, God generates it. Amen. Don't you wish I could just preach calmly? I try to do calm every time. I just get stuck. But the idea, and this is so exciting when you look at this, and he tells us, he says it very clear, that we may be a participant in the divine nature. That's how we escape the corruption that is in the world through evil desire. God regenerates us and causes us, hallelujah, to have a new way of looking at everything because someone has come to make residence in our inward man. Glory to his name. So I participate in that. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. It almost sounds like an oxymoron. And to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection. You know other translations of brotherly kindness. And to mutually affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being, ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. Now let's make this clear again. Now remember, now he just told us that we should be or understand that we are participants in divine nature. So now we go to run and muster up our human strength. Amen. God, you bless me with divine nature. So now, bless God, I'm going to add some self-control. You ever try that? Amen. How many of you, I won't look, I'll turn around. You ever tried self-determination? I tried it. I will never eat cake again. It's better not to say those kinds of things because you, amen, you know, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. I remember saying to somebody the other day that Popeye's chicken to kill you. I'll preach this when wife's not here. But the idea is, so we want you to understand, we can try all that stuff all day long. Anytime that we move away from that which is generating the power and the life of God, it's not like you and I can just automatically, because we receive Christ, that we automatically are going to grow, or we automatically are going to. No, sir. My brothers and my sisters, you and I need to understand, we need to draw from the life of God within us. We need to look to the life of God. Oh, but thank God it is in us. And the fact that we can, the fact that it is available, the fact that Jesus Christ never sleeps nor slumbers, his power is ever present, and we can look to him. Because he is the one that ultimately makes a difference in our lives. Growing is a reality. Growing is something that is real and genuine through Jesus Christ. Let's check out this. I want you to see this too. That this knowledge is not a knowledge of the head. It's a knowledge that is intimate and relational. Hallelujah. And as we relate to our Lord, as we relate to him, praise God, he brings the ability to add.
to our faith. Goodness. He brings and add to our goodness knowledge. He brings to add to our knowledge self-control. Like I say, it's almost an oxymoron because he's bringing it. Did you get that? He's bringing it. Thing is, we look at every time we see, and we've seen so many people over the years, and we've struggled, and people struggle, and they really do have a challenging time. And I deal with so many people that are really desperate to get out of their lock to where they're bound. And they want to be free in some cases. Some want to tell you that they want to be free. But God, when he, by his Holy Spirit, draws us to himself, something marvelous happens. Life springs forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you just slip your hand up for life? Amen. Life springs forth. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. And out from self-control comes the ability to persevere. Not a human perseverance, and human perseverance has some ability, but this is divine perseverance, to where God has had people, as you know as well as I do, that have had to suffer for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some have been in horrific circumstances in North Korea and in Pakistan and other nations of the world. How do they endure that? The same one who endured the cross is in them, enabling them, hallelujah, to endure that suffering. Let me tell you something. If he can enable someone to endure the persecution of a North Korean concentration camp, or through what Pakistan will put you through in their jail and prisons and in other nations where the saints are being persecuted, if he can enable them, certainly he can enable us to endure the things that we must face in our everyday life. God wants to be the one that we draw upon. And as the beautiful words of the song that we sang, oh, and they were beautiful words, praise God. Amen. As we magnify his greatness, as we glorify him for all the things that he does, as we look to him to help us and enable us and empower us and give us a way out of no way, he does some marvelous things for us as we trust and as we depend on him. One of those things is he gives us perseverance. And through that perseverance, godliness is generated. And through godliness, mutual or brotherly affection, brotherly love, mutual affection, love for one another. Isn't it awesome just to see love? One of the things, I have to say this again, I'm not preaching Pastor Bales, but I have to admit the brother walks in love. And I've seen many a time when he could have kind of went another way through my statements that I had made to him. He loved me right back. And I've seen that in him over and over and over again. I don't want you to think that I make that many mistakes or anything. Hallelujah. But anyway, he shows love. What a beautiful thing to know your pastor is a man of love. See, if God's generating it, it ain't necessarily who's doing it. I'll love you, but I'm not too crazy about you. No, when God is generating it, it's mutual. Amen? Have you ever wondered about that? Lord, I really want to walk in love. No, sincerely. I mean, surely somebody has wondered that. I really want to walk in love. There's an invitation to participate in divine nature.
in that nature, you can. You can love those who don't love you back. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can treat good, and I mean real good, not just. No, really, you even think well about them away from their presence. Because divine nature is generated. I love that word. In fact, I got that from CTS. Is generated. Divine nature is generated by God. I want to run, but. The idea that God is flowing inside of me to where I can love everyone, that I can care about those who have worked vehemently against me. Hallelujah. And I can even think well of someone who has thought badly and worked against me, tried to put me down, tried to run me down. This ain't no sermon. This is life. This is what we're talking about is life. The sermon part, I like, you know, preaching sometimes, but I'm not somebody who covets it. But the idea is I want you to understand something. This is life. Does it work in your everyday life? I don't want to hear it if it don't work. But I want to say calmly, it works. Now I'm going to say it like I want to say it. This thing works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the idea that God is working in you and working in me. God is. I said God is. Woo! Glory to God. That idea, the very thought of that. The life of God working in me. Generating in me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not through some human effort, by the fact that he's in me. And that puts the check in his hands. Like that passage there in Isaiah. Isaiah 54:17. God says, and this is of me. In other words, I'm backing it up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And every time we look at this, we see in the text of Scripture, for if you possess it, if you possess it, so oftentimes in Scripture, we will look at it and we'll immediately count ourselves out. Well, I don't have that. Because you don't see it in your life. I ain't got that. That's not there in me. But the idea is to discover what does belong to you in the Scriptures. To see it. To understand that you are his. How many people, I'm not righteous. No, you're not. Thank God, because our righteous stuff stank. But there is a righteousness, which the brother ministered today. A righteousness that comes from God. But we partake and are participants in. Amen. Generated by divine nature. Thank God. Divine nature. Divine nature. Jesus living in us. Generating his nature. Bringing about righteousness in our lives. And what ultimately comes to the end of that? We begin to be people who reflect Jesus Christ to the world. I see Jesus in you. What a beautiful thing to see. Just do this by faith, maybe. Look at your neighbor and say, I see Jesus in you.
divine nature. Thank God. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. If you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to show you something else that he says here in the next few verses. And I'm almost done. He goes down into the 12th verse. He says, so will I always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have? I think it is right to refresh your memory as long, I love when he says this, as I live in the tent of this body. Because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Now, Peter, we understand, was obviously an apostle, walked with Jesus, very close relationship, and certainly the one who helped establish the church. So immediately we put him in a category by himself, and in some sense, he is, in some sense. But the reality is, you remember it was him who wrote, those of you who have received a faith as precious as ours. I have the same faith Peter had. But that came out my mouth. Let it come out yours. I have. No, let's start over. I have the same faith Peter had. Amen. You know why I have it? I received it. I did not earn it. It was grace given. Amen. In other words, God's paying the bill. Hallelujah. So we look at this, and every time we see it, we come back again and again and again. We say, my God, who is worthy of these things? There is none. But who can walk in those? We all should be. And in this dangerous time that Peter was in, when all the false teaching that was out during his day, and you know there's a little false teaching in our day too, but what he was dealing with, the best answer to the false teaching was for the Christians to grow in their intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. We say in football, the best defense is a good offense. And that is what God, I believe, sent me for these hours, moments, to say. Praise the Lord. God wants us to grow so, and you have a marvelous opportunity in this church. I was thinking about this church. In fact, if the Lord let me go from First Love, I would come to this church. But the idea is, and I want you to understand something, if you and I do not grow, how then to those who are not hearing the truth? How do they see it? How do they understand if there are no examples? And you're in a church where the message is clearly taught. The preaching is excellent. Amen. And you know as well as I do, there's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to live it. What good is it to have such excellent ministry and a sorry life? Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to, I just need to say certain things. So we want to have a life that we can look at and say,
God, I thank you. This is happening in my life. This is happening. Hallelujah. It will generate thanksgiving, not pride, because you know you didn't do it. You shouldn't even have it, but yet you're blessed with it. And God has sent us his precious word. He says he has given us everything we need for life and godliness, generated by God himself in the life of the believer. So we take advantage of that. We turn. We say yes to God. We allow the life of God within us to flow through us. Let's pray and ask God to do just that in our lives. Father, we thank you. And we do not take for one moment that we can of ourselves do anything of eternal value. But you've not left us alone. You've given us of your Son. Now we have Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. The knowledge that we have is not knowledge that's just mental, but knowledge that is relational, intimate. Knowledge that comes from the life of God within us. We pray today that each one, Lord God, may step into all that you have for them to bring out from their inward man that has been deposited by the Holy Spirit. The life of God within us. The life of God within us. Yeah. The life of God within us. We are partakers of divine nature. I am a participant in divine nature. Hallelujah. There used to be an old song. I don't know how old it is. But it goes, I got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors. Be relaxed. It doesn't open the prison doors for the prisoners to come out. It means the prison. Opens prison doors. Sets the captive free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up. Help me out. Can't you hear my voice cracking? Spring up, oh well, and make me. Anybody know that? Isn't that embarrassing? You go that far, nobody picks up and carries the song. Let me clear my voice. I'm going to try again. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, give me a hand for singing that. Praise the Lord. I started sweating as soon as I started singing. Dangerous area there. And beloved, I want you to understand in my closing that Jesus Christ, and I want to get into the next part. I don't have time now. But Jesus Christ wanted to warn us about the false teaching false doctrine, deceptive ways, demonic snares. It's like they say it in the financial arena, the best way to catch a counterfeit bill is to know the genuine well. You and I need to understand the life and the knowledge that we possess is not simply mental, but is relational, and it's intimate, and it comes from God. He brings it himself to us. That knowledge is how he wants us to become more and more familiar and grow in that knowledge. That is the best defense that we will ever be able to have against the things that are in error that are coming against his church. It was in Peter's day, and unfortunately, it is in ours as well. Amen? You ready to be equipped? 2 Peter chapter 1. God bless you.